Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Kodesh Parshas. I think Zachary Mice Kedashim. Wow, moving along. A little bit of a pella. I was listening to Lightning on Thursday, and the first part of the Parsha describes the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Dava pella. It doesn't mention a word about Yom Kippur. Besides the Avodah on Yom Kodesh, it starts on Pasuk Aleph. I think Yom Kippur is not mentioned until Pasuk Chof Tes. Haloi Davarhu, isn't it strange? That is something which needs an explanation, and I'm not sure I have one now. And what it sounds like is B'zoi Siyavi Aaron Elakaydish, when Klaisel is deserving, Aaron will come Elakaydish. For now, it's only on Yom Kippur. But, at least in theory, it could happen some other time. That's what it sounds like from the Pasuk. Tzorach Bir. Let us move to a topic that's a general topic in Shas, which probably comes from one of the Pesukim of this week's Parsha. Probably, I'll tell you why. As you know, those who learn Gemara are aware that the Gemara talks about Jews who are Eichlei Chulim B'Tahara. We find many times that they were Yidden that ate Chulim B'Tahara, even though they weren't obligated to. As a matter of fact, you find the second thing. You find sometimes in Shas, Jews who ate Chulim B'Tahara Sakaydish. They ate Chulim with the rules of Tahara that apply to Hegdish. The food was not Hegdish, but they ate it as if it was Hegdish. What's the difference in Eichlei Chulim B'Tahara and those who eat a B'Tahara Sakaydish? Well, many differences. One is a Tful Yom. Somebody went to the mikveh that day. Afterwards, he's allowed, he's tar. He's not metame cholin. If he touches cholin, it remains tar. But kachim, if he touches kachim, it becomes tame. And therefore, that would be enough kamina. But it, be as bad as it may, my point is that there were Jews who ate cholin betara, even though there was no halachic reason for them to do so. It was a behavior. There is a machlekes rishayim on this. The Rambam, in Ilchas Tumas Eichlin, Perik Tazayin, Halacha Ches, actually through Yud Beis, discusses the idea. And he says very clearly that all Dinei Tum and Tahara exist only for the Halachas of Truma, Kachim, the Beis HaMikdash, and Kayanim. There is no need for Ilchas Tum and Tahara except as it regards them. Again, Kachim and Truma, certain types of food, the Beis HaMikdash, a certain place, and Kayanim are not allowed to be Tmei Yemeis. For a Hedyot, there is no halachic reason to be Makbid on not eating Tumah. The Rambam does write that the Midas Chasidus, the Chasidim, and Anshei Maisa would be careful because at the end of the day, Tahara affects a person in a positive way. Taisus and Cholim Daf Beis on the Beis disagrees. Taisus holds that it's a chi of gomer. If there's no reason to eat tumah, now sometimes there's a reason. A person could be tame for many reasons. A person could be a nida, a balkeri. It'd say you could go to a levaya. But if there's no need to eat tumah, then even cholim should be eaten with tahara. So there is a certain amount of disagreement. There are two places that the Magen Avraham brings this, and the Magen Avraham, as you know, is Shulchan Aruch. He brings it twice. Fascinating. In Simer Reish Pei in Hilchos Shabbos, he talks about people who ate Chulim B'Tahara, presumably on Shabbos, and he says, why? Why would you eat it Al Taras HaKadosh? He says, why? B'Tahara, I understand. Why Al Taras HaKadosh? He says, in the name of the Rashba and the Ran, the Masechtas Nida, Dafav, that the reason is to be ready for when Mashiach will come, we'll have to eat, and we'll be zeichet to eat kachim, that we should be accustomed to eating a b'tahara. We should know the halachas, and that's the reason lahar galasmei b'kachim. In the Magen Avraham, in some of Tafresh Gimel, which is the halachas of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, he says a bigger chiddush. He says that the Arizal was makbid on the Aseres Yemei Tshuva only not to eat anything that's tummy. Eat nothing that's tummy. You'll say, hold on a minute. How's that possible? Everybody today is a Tamei Meis. How can the Arizal himself was a Tamei Meis? How could he possibly eat only Tahar food? The answer, says the Magen Avraham, is that he ate fruits and vegetables that were not Mokshel L'Kabel Tumah. He used wheat to make bread that was not Mokshel L'Kabel Tumah, meaning it was never made wet. It was one of the Sheva Mashkin. And therefore, even though a tummy person touches it, it's tar. So Mamela Zakta Magen Avram, Arizal was makpid to eat chulin betara by eating only food that had never become wet and drinking only mei be'er, only water from a spring water. Beis Meir says he must have eaten it, he must have put his mouth to the water and had it straight from the water, otherwise it becomes tummy when removed. And this was the Chumrah, the Kepeda of the Arizal, to eat only Chulin B'Tahara. So here we have a concept in the Gemara, and we have two Magen Avrahams. Where does this come from? From this Kaddishta V'Yisem Kaddishim Ki Kaddishani, a Pasuk in the Torah, in Parashas Kaddishim. We find this Pasuk, and it's Perachot Pasuk Zayin. Now I do have to tell you, we find the identical Pasuk in Shmini, Perek Yed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Dalet. So I don't know which one of the two Tosfos is referring to when he brings it, but this is the union of eating chulin b'tahira, period. There is a nafkamina lahalacha from this Magen Avraham, even for all of us who are not in the Madrega of the Arizal. Oynis Talmud Chacham Leil Shabbos Leil Shabbos. It's the custom of a Talmud Chacham to be mekayin the mitzvah of oina with his wife on Shabbos. So how could a person do as the Magen Avraham says, to catch him b'tahara on Shabbos? The person himself is a tful yaim. The person himself is a tful yaim. And even if he'll go to the mikvah before he eats, but he's a tful yaim. And the Magen Avraham says that the minig was to eat Kachim Ataras HaKadosh, and that's certainly a problem. Now, on a weekday, I understand. You could eat fruits and vegetables that are not Moshe L'Kabel Tumah, no problem. But on Shabbos, you have to eat bread. Bread is made with water. So if bread is made with water, how does that work? How does the Talmud Chacham get away with being Yaiseh Shalos Sudas? How is he Yaiseh Shalos Sudas? Not only that, how did the Arizal eat Shalos Sudas on Shabbos? If he didn't eat any flour that came from a kernel that was Moshe L'Kabel Tumah, so that means he would have had to take the food and not mix it with water. He would have to mix it with fruit juice. He would have to mix it with honey or with something else that's not Mekabel Tumah. And I shouldn't say honey, because as you know, honey is one of the seven mashkim, but that's only bees honey. He could have mixed it with date honey. Let me clarify. I'm not being clear. The question is this. It says that the Arizal was makbid on Aseres Yemei Tshuva, presumably even on Shabbos of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the Magen Avraham Reish Pei says, for everybody, it's a benefit. To eat on Shabbos, only foods that were never Moshe L'Kabel Tumah. How is it possible? What are you going to have to eat? You need to eat. How are you going to eat anything? As soon as you touch bread, it's flour that's mixed with water, it's going to become tamei. The Prima Gadim, Sim Reish Pei, answers. He says that it means that he ate past that was kneaded with fruit juice, and therefore it still remained not Moshe L'Kabel Tumah. It wasn't, no water touched it. Zokta Stipler and Brachis, we see from here a big chiddush. It could be yaitz asud Shabbos with pasa babekistan, with cake, with food, with a flour made with mezainis. Okay, so we learned the halacha. Says the Stipler, but it causes a chiddush. Let's say you have a man who forgets to say vachitzenu on Shabbos and benching. What's the halacha? Well, the halacha is that the first two meals you have to repeat benching, because you have to eat bread. Masha'en kein, the third meal, where Since you don't have to eat bread for the third meal, you don't repeat benching. The first two sudas, you do repeat benching. Frechta Stipler, why does he have a man who went to a kiddush after davening and he had some cake there? And then he gets home and he eats the day suda and forgets to say Vachlisenu. In his mind, this is the second suda he has to bench over. But in the eyes of the Prima Gadim, it's not. Because when he ate at the kiddush, he was Yaisi eating. And since he was Yaisi eating at the kiddush, the suda in his house, which he's calling his lunchtime suda, is actually the third suda of the day. See, I one at night, one at the kiddush, and one now. Says the Stipler, if you Yaisi a Pasav Abikistan, you cause a big issue in case of people who eat by a kiddush and then go home and eat a Shabbos meal, forget Ritzei, they think they have to bench over, and that's not correct. So, be that as it may, this is the horror of the Stipler. He says, maybe it is that way. Who knows? Okay, so much for that topic. That was about a short thought. I was talking about Yom Niram. Try this. Hanisham Aloch Aguf Paloch. We say, Hashem, your soul is yours, and the body is your handiwork. What's the difference between Aguf Shaloch and Paloch? So I once saw the following. Aguf Paloch. Paloch means it's your handiwork. It's the work of your hands. It's past tense. Aguf Paloch. You made the guf in the past. That's the idea of Aguf Paloch. You're the source of the guf. However, Hanisham Aloch, I know that's current. That's right now. The idea of Lashon Hayva now is to recognize that even this moment, the guf of is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that recognition, that's Hanisham Aloch. So, we say, Hanisham Aloch currently, Vaguf Palach, he made the guf in the past. Then we talk about this Baruch, we recognize that it all comes from you and it's ongoing, it's yours, Kaviyachu. I say, Laman Shemecha, do to help Kai Israel, Laman Shemecha, because of your holy name, because of Kai Shemayim. The Nakuda, of course, is the Shal, the Aguf Shalach, and the Shama Lach, that it's yours currently. It's yours presently. And that recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Neshama is with us all the time. Ah, what a mechayev. Gevaldik. And with that extraordinary thought, I would like to wish everybody an absolutely wonderful, a really wonderful and meaningful Shabbos Kodesh Kol Tov.